perfect throughout eternity.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gonna have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markep program, Joe Markep.
You know, the impressive thing is, you realize that Dave's predecessors, Pastor Dave, who monitors our show and is our producer, the other ones couldn't count. They just said start.
That's right.
We get a 5 second lead, right?
And
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's
very impressive.
I think he starts counting it down right from the beginning of the show.
I do. We just don't hear it.
Hey, I'm Joe Martech. You're at the Team Martech Hour. This is our phone number, folks. Now you're supposed to write this down, students. We are here to teach, we are here to help, and we are going to do that, but we can't help you if you don't call in. So, this is a toll-free number from any place, 888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. If you have a cell phone, you don't even have to dial 1. If you got a regular phone, dial 1 first. One last time. Now then,
don't call collect.
Don't 800 numbers you don't have to.
Do people still do that? Is that
still
a
collect call?
Yeah, sure. You can make a collect call.
You still have a rotary phone, though, don't you?
No, my wife may do, but I don't have one.
You know, I saw this cartoon in the paper about these teenagers talking, and one teenager says, you know, the problem with phones is you can never find them. Somebody ought to invent a phone that's got a wire to the wall. You remember? You know, all of a sudden, and I was talking to some kids last week, college kids, and they're father was there, and I was using words that they had no clue what I'm talking about. Dr. Zhivago, old movie. Sure. You know, you got to be old to understand Dr. Zhivago. And there was a few other subjects that were a generation ago or two, and that one of the perks of getting old is we don't understand kids, and of course, kids don't care about us.
I don't know.
I like that, true. Dave. That was good.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, once they hit teenager, you think they like you at all?
Yeah, I think they do.
Which
they
one?
Get preoccupied.
Uh-huh.
By so the screens.
Vince who?
Well.
Back in 2004, Joe Martech, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, started doing radio shows, and the concept was very simple. Each one of us had a different area of expertise that the other one didn't have, and we could take phone calls from people and help them. And then over a period of time, We added Mr. Vince Rosino, CPA, not only a CPA, but a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness. Also an ex-college professor.
But not a Columbia.
But not a Columbia. You ever hear of Columbia, a little school in New York?
I've heard of Columbia.
He went to a bigger school, but nobody ever heard of it. But that's okay.
No, I taught at SUNY Old Westbury.
Anyway, and then as time went on, we also went through the Great Recession, so we added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who, and I say this without any jest whatsoever, she's probably the hardest working person alive. Probably the, if this woman tells you she's going to call you at 3 in the morning, don't go to sleep. She will call you. She has called me from England, and Mike, I know she's waking you up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, she's called me from Canada, from the Bahamas. She didn't call me when her trip to, on her trip to England, though.
I'm telling you what, with the girl, it doesn't make any difference. When she says something, she's just going to do it. It just, that's just the way it works. Which leads us to Mike Powell, his mortgage broker. And I will tell you what Mike has done for our listeners is probably so dramatic because, and he has a special guest here today. Mark, what's your last name?
Tetta.
Setta?
Tetta.
As an Italian?
Tetta, yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Well, we got, you know, you're well represented here. We got a Rosino and a Setta. Did I say this with a...
We just added some class to the show.
I know. It's all low, but we got some anyway. This is good. You know, we are in South... No, we're in Palm City now. Whoops, we're upping. I hate to tell you. I thought we were across the bridge in Port Salerno or something. Anyway, so concept that Mike has been able to do, because we went through the Great Recession... And the media, you know how the media always tells the truth and never slants the truth?
Yes, sir.
You remember that part, right?
I do. Yes.
You're the only one alive that remembers that. So they came, no mortgage money was available, nobody could do this, and then Mike would come on and say, hey, the USDA program is still no money down if you qualify for it. You got the VA program with
No money down.
No money down. And he said there's always been the mortgages available. Now, the, what happened is it went back to an old rule, which is called you have to prove you can make the payment.
Yeah, and amazing. Now,
just an amazing
The loans that we're making now are have record low default levels.
And, you know, one of the things that does happen, the economy happens to be relatively strong, if you haven't noticed, which we've all noticed. And, in fact, today, Alan, we have a special other guest here, which is a regular team member who's not a team member, but he's a guest team member. It's our Messy Jew. And those of you that have known us, listened to it for a while, Alan is a... card-carrying Jew who became a Christian how long ago?
July 18th, 2009.
So what, what time?
12:15.
12:15?
P.M.
Were you dipped in the tank at 12:15?
Yes, I was.
Was the water warm?
Yes.
That was my, my
good thing it wasn't today.
Yeah, you would. My pastor that dipped me, I said, you know, I just got one question. Is the water warm? He says, I've got to go in with you, so it better be. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so... Alan is now what's called a Messianic Jew, which means that he's basically a Jew for Jesus. He then has been a card-carrying forever, and we've been become associates, friends, for how many years now, Alan, have you been hanging out?
About three.
Yeah, and it's been a very interesting thing, because Alan's a retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, and even though he doesn't directly contribute anything, we get to pick on him, right?
Yes, you do.
In fact... He looks especially handsome today because his friend groomed him very well. I'm impressed. You were wearing that rabbi hat really straight there for a good while.
Well, thank you very much. But rather than talking about me, how about talking about the fact that the stock market went up 600 points today?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the prediction. A year ago, almost exactly a year ago, Joe Martek and Alan Love said, we predict that the S&P 500 will go up 10% this calendar year, 2018. Now, as of today, it's probably only up 2 or 3% for the year, but I still believe between now and the end of the year that it will, because if we look at P.E. ratios, all of the ingredients that make the market perform, they're all there. What's happened is... And I'm not 100% positive on this one, Vince, but I listen to the media constantly all day long. I have CNBC on in the car, and it's one negative person after another lately that the economy is going to start folding. Now, I'm not sure if this is political or not political, but we have this lowest unemployment in 59 years. We've got one of the strongest economies that's ever hit the face of America. But unfortunately, we are the only country on earth that really has a dynamic economy, and other countries are not. Now, there's all kinds of explanations and reasons, et cetera, but according to the chairman of the Federal Reserve today, they fully expect next year, 2019, to be just as good as 2018, which is a very strong statement. So I think a bit of that catapulted the market right back into a positive territory.
Well, what I found to be interesting is yesterday on most of the financial channels, the know-it-all pundits were saying they were afraid that the Federal Reserve chairman was going to raise interest rates mm-hmm. and be hawkish. And so that was one of the reasons keeping the market down. It wouldn't surprise me that those pundits were buying in their own accounts and for their clients yesterday.
Well, I think that there is a little merit to what they're saying, because you know it's historically housing has driven the economy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Housing and automobiles.
In the
right?
last 4 or 5 months, there's been a downturn in housing. And you can attribute that to many things, but I think a lot of it has to do with the Fed raising the interest rates.
Yep.
And I think that that's what the market has been watching these last couple months.
Well, the key thing is this. Now, we, because we're a bunch of old people sitting here, and even Mike, you're looking old, even though you're the youngest guy here. we have lived through interest rates that were 10, 15, 17%.
But I understand that. But we also have the Fed that is trying to loosen up their balance sheet too.
Yeah.
And they're saying that that could add another 0.75% onto the effective interest rate.
Now, listen, folks, you don't have to pay any attention to the details here, but understand we do. We live with this every single day, all of us, and it's become a monster part of conversation trying to do what's right for our clients. So, as of today, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, brought in a special guest, Mark Setta.
Tetta.
Like feta cheese?
No, T with a T.
Oh, gosh.
Mark, I never pick on anybody. Don't feel special.
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I love feta cheese. And I've been called worse. I can.
Let me tell you what I think. I resemble that. It's not a problem. But we want to talk a little bit, and with Mike. What Mike has been able to do is help many, many people. Let me just preface it this way: you walk into your local bank and say, "I want to get a mortgage," and the people said, "Okay, fine, fill out this application. Sometimes give us a deposit." And 2 or 3 weeks later, they come back and say, "Yes, no, or maybe." Mike will do that normally in 15 minutes without taking an application, and he'll do it over the phone.
Correct.
But one of the major things that happens, one of the most critical parts, is credit scores. And what if I have a credit score that does not qualify for mortgages today? What can we do? So the question to you, Mark, how do you help Mike's people qualify for mortgages?
Okay. So when Mike and his team pull the credit report and, you know, there's a number of different factors that go into that, revolving accounts, installment accounts, you know, I've worked with his team for many, many years, and they're very good at being able to ascertain what could potentially be done with somebody's credit file based on that initial pull. So if it's a few points short of meeting a certain program guideline, Mike and his team can figure out a way to do that, or they'll reach my team and we look at the report with them based on, you know, we're trying to get to a 620 for this specific program, and then we just come up with a game plan together to try to achieve that score goal.
And you know, we've had people call in and just said Mike walks on water, but Mike said behind the scenes he knows this guy named Mark that really is walking on water, who's helping these people clean up their credit reports.
Right.
Because I know that some people might take 6 months, a year even, to get their credit to a position where they can qualify for this mortgage and have what's called a decent interest rate.
Well, there's so many things that are factored into what makes up your credit score. To be honest with you, some of it's even a mystery to me, and I've been looking at this for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark's the expert at this. He represents Certified Credit, and he's the credit company that we pull our credit reports through. But besides that, he's a world of knowledge. He can look at a credit report, and he can say, okay, well, if you pay this down or you pay off some of your revolving debt, you know, you may get, you know, so many extra points. So, you know, what I wanted to know, Mark, is, you know, when you have, there's a thing called credit utilization. And And that really has to do with what? Has to do with your revolving debt. Right.
Correct.
And how does that affect...
Now, what's revolving debt? Now, forgive me for a minute. You know how we use words and we know what we're talking about? But not everybody knows. You know, revolving is a door in front of Macy's.
Right.
You know, that's a revolving door.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So revolving credit, that works pretty much the same as that door, huh?
Pretty much. It's basically your credit cards. You know, if you have a Visa card, MasterCard, Stewart card, gas card, you know, the percentage of your debt, you know, your credit limit that you use is called your utilization.
There you go.
And the higher you get to your credit limit will affect your score negatively.
Adversely.
Yeah. So maybe Mark can touch on that. And
let me one more step before you do. Folks, this is important now. Anybody that knows somebody, or any way you can help somebody, this is a great time to call in because we have two experts here. One is this is what you do for a living only, right?
Yes, sir.
888-221-8990. Normally, our message you over here reminds me to mention the phone today, but I think, Alan, am I putting you to sleep again today?
No, you're not.
I'm working on it, though, huh? Okay, so ask that question again, Mike, and let's get Mark, put him on the point here, how he can help people.
Yeah, like how does a revolving balance affect your credit score, and what can you do to improve your credit score if you're a few points shy of qualifying for just about anything, not only mortgages, but car loans, you know, other credit cards, etc.
Sure, and that's a great question, Mike. So credit utilization, as he mentioned, is really your balance to your high credit on your credit cards. So how much is your balance versus what is your high credit, meaning how much are you allowed to spend on that credit card? Some people have a $500 high credit. Some people have a $5 or a $10 or a $20,000 high credit. So what really moves the credit scores, you know, with our credit scores for the mortgage industry, and I want to touch on that just briefly, is really that credit utilization. How much do you owe on that credit card versus how much are you allowed to spend? So the closer you get to being maxed out, let's just take the $500 credit line. You know, if you owe $450 on that, you might potentially be able to move your credit scores 10, 15, or 20 points if you were able to pay that credit card balance down to maybe $50 and have a very small balance.
How many points?
It could be anywhere from 10 to 15 to 20.
This could make a monster difference.
So
if you had a credit score of, say, 650, and you could move it up to 670 or 680, wouldn't that make a monster difference in qualifying for a mortgage, Mike?
Sure, absolutely. You know, one thing that affects your interest rate and the terms that you get on a mortgage is your credit score. If your credit score, like say you're going to a conventional loan, a conventional loan is a loan that's a not government-backed
loan. So it's not an FHA or a VA.
Right. It's a Fannie Mae loan or a Freddie Mac loan. No. It's what we consider a bank loan.
No. Now, hang on one second again. I know we know Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. We know that.
Right.
Nobody knows that. Federal National Mortgage Association is a quasi-government agency that actually buys mortgages from banks or other lenders. Like if you call up and listen to the guys on the radio or TV, just like us, and they say, hey, we're going to do these mortgages. Well, they don't hold those normally. Those mortgages are then sold to the government agency, who then pays the mortgage company back. And then you make payments to the mortgage company, but the money goes straight then to the government agency. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay, so now, credit score.
Yes. Now, if you're going for one of these conventional loans, if your score is under 700, say you're in that 695 range, then that could have a very detrimental effect on the interest rate you're going to get. So that 5 points, if you can pay down a credit card to get those extra 5 points, is certainly worth it because it could make a 0.25% difference in your interest rate on a mortgage.
Which could be $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 over the course of the mortgage.
Yeah, so it might not be the difference of qualifying for the mortgage, but it could influence the interest rate that you get.
Now, it also could make a difference to qualifying because if your payment's going to be $700 a month and you only qualify for a $660 a month, all of a sudden you can't buy that house.
Right.
So what happens? Am I staying
out? Yeah, absolutely. And I can't stress enough. That's why it's so important to go to somebody like Mike and his team that have the years of experience of understanding that it's not just qualifying, but it could potentially mean moving you from one, you know, tier to another to get a better interest rate, especially with the rates going up like they are. You know, it's really putting the folks to the test to really figure out how this works. And, you know, Mike and his team are just, they've had lots of experience.
So if I'm understanding this right, so Mike talked to somebody on the phone, and Mike has a really good feel for all of this. Only 30, 40 years in business. You should know it by now, Mike.
Just 30. Don't make me older than I am, Jim.
You look older, but that's okay. So then what happens is, let's say he gets somebody with the 670 and they want to crank it up and they start taking this information over the phone. He would then call you, your group, and they'll say, hey, here's this guy and here's what he's got. What can we do to help him? This is what I think. What do you think? Let's make it definitive, right?
Well, actually, I'm going to admit one thing. I kind of cheat.
Uh-huh.
Because Mark, on his software that we use, has programs that we utilize that we can go in and we can manipulate any kind of thing on your credit report. We can pay counts off. We can forecast in the future. All of a sudden, I can make this 6 months in the future.
Right.
And
it'll spit out a credit score?
It'll spit out
simulations.
A simulation.
Yeah, well, of course.
Right. Yeah, it's not exact. I mean, it's every time I've used it, it's in the ballpark.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's critical because, right, you know, what you can qualify for, you know, here's, I mean, especially first-time buyers. They don't have a clue because they've never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're buying your second or third house, but you're 10 years between buying, the rules change, mm-hmm, the ratios change. You know, it's the whole constant part of your business,
right?
Mortgage credit, it never stays the same day after day. It's a different ballgame.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that moving parts, like Mike mentioned earlier, and so, you know, there's so much that goes into it, and there's so much information on the internet and the radio and that kind of thing these days that it's really important, you know. And I kind of touched briefly on, you know, our credit reports are a little different than the average report. We're specifically designed for the mortgage industry. So our credit scores are, you know, models that are required by Fannie and Freddie.
Right.
So they're different than the Credit Karmas and the Credit Sesames and, you know, some of these other programs available. Those are awesome resources for people to utilize, but what's important is for Mike to take that information and be able to interpret it from a mortgage standpoint as opposed to just a general statement type thing.
Yeah, Mark, so many people come to me and they say they sign up for a company with, like, Credit Karma.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll come in and say, I just checked my credit score. It's 750 with Credit Karma. I pull their credit report, and all of a sudden it's 680. Why is the, what's the discrepancy?
Right.
What's the difference?
So Credit Karma has developed their own algorithms and their own systems.
See, that's another word. Isn't that, don't you love that word, algorithm?
Yeah.
Did you know that word before, like, 2 years ago?
I did not, no. I like to use words like platform and algorithm. It makes me sound a lot smarter.
I know.
Than I am,
so. I get such a kick out of it. I was talking to some people in my business, and I said, yeah, well, this guy was telling me about the algorithm. He says, what algorithm? We don't have one. I said, well, he said you did. He said, well, that's because he likes the word.
That's,
right.
That's the dark word that we throw the dark word.
So
algorithm is a formula.
Right. Correct. So what they've done is, and it's a great resource and it's a great tool. So they're able to simulate payments being made to accounts and then what the score would do, similar to our simulation products that we have on our websites, but they're different. So ours are, you know, and FICO is a term very commonly used for all types of different types,
right,
of credit scores.
Right.
So our scores are just very specific, and really these creditors are only reporting their information once a month to the bureaus, and then that calculation is done when you pull the credit report. What's different about Credit Karma and our scores is that they're able to run these simulations and find out, okay, my payment hit today, here's what my score is. Where in reality, we can run simulations, but that's not really how it works. So, you know, they're just different than the, you know, it's very similar to when you go to buy a car and they pull your credit report and they get a car dealer credit score, which, mm-hmm, is very different than the mortgage score and very different than the Credit Karma score. And
stay with me for a minute. Am I not right? When you do a mortgage credit score, it's a very thorough, it's much deeper than let's say the one for the car or the clothing store, or, you know, if you're going to go buy rooms to go or something, rather the credit scores.
Well, not necessarily. The data on the reports is always the same.
Right.
So you're getting all of their credit cards, their mortgages, their car loans, their student, all the data is the same, but
right,
the score algorithms and those types of things are just calculating it differently.
Okay.
So like a car loan score, really is focusing on, do you have a car loan? How current is it? How old is it? How much do you owe on it? Whereas ours are mostly focusing more on the mortgage trade line. And so there's different weights to different trade lines for the different industries that you're looking to, you know, to do that on. We have attorneys that we do bankruptcy scores for that are predictions on when they're going to file for bankruptcy. We have insurance scores that, you know, if Mike's doing a loan for somebody and I think it's less than 20% down, they might have to have mortgage insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at our credit score from our credit reports to determine what the rate is. But if you go to get car insurance or homeowner's insurance, they pull a portion of your credit report and it's an insurance score.
Yeah.
There's a different score for every industry, but typically the data is the same. It's your trade line.
How it's interpreted.
Correct. Exactly.
Hey, Mark, mm-hmm. I got a question for
sure.
you. You talked about credit utilization. So if you had a $500 credit line, you use $450,
mm-hmm.
or it works against you as you get closer and closer to the top.
Correct.
What about those people who are the opposite? Say they're very diligent, and they want to pay their credit cards down. And say they have a lot of credit and they don't use it.
Right.
Does that work against them also?
Well, not necessarily, because what's really, really important is that when you're charging up these cards to maximize your credit score by paying it off or mm-hmm. paying more than the minimum payments, that's a good thing. And that's really, the credit score is a number assigned to you based on your risk of repayment. The higher that number, the better. So if you're somebody that pays your credit cards off every month, you keep very low balances and you don't miss payments, those are the people that Mike really wants to talk to because they have good credit scores.
Is there anything such as having too much credit, Mark?
Available
even
credit.
Even if you don't use it.
Correct.
Available credit.
Yeah. So part of the algorithms of the scores are if you have X amount of cards on your file, you'll have so many points. So there's categories on these scorecards that the bureaus create, and one of them is credit cards. And so one of them could be if I have 3 credit cards on my file, my score for that category would be X. But if I drop one, my score is now either going to go higher or lower, or if I add one or two, my score is going to go higher or lower. So the answer to your question is yes. And by the way, the answer to every credit question is usually yes and no, depending on the individual
circumstance.
Wait a minute,
this sounds like an attorney we have sitting here.
Yeah. We're very gray in the credit area.
Well, so let's just take, okay, now back again, class. Nobody's calling in. You're supposed to be calling now. We've got an expert or two here. 888-221-8990. So let's go back to Vince's question. Let's say I've got 10 credit cards and I have no balance
mm-hmm.
on all 10, and I've got a $200,000 credit limit, but I don't have any balance because I pay it off every month, and I probably use one or two cards. I don't use the other 6 or 8 because they could be for a furniture store, that could be a clothing store. You know, you go into the clothing store and they say, hey, if you open up this credit card, we'll give you 20% off today. Well, you open it up and you never use it.
Right.
So mm-hmm. does that help or hurt you, or does it make any difference?
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean, if you have too many cards, again, that category really wants a specific amount of cards. So if you have 10, maybe the category you're maxing out the points if you only have 3 or 4. So yes, too much credit utilization or too many credit cards can be detrimental to
even
your
if you don't
particular
use them,
file,
right?
Even if you're not using them.
Yeah,
that's what I suspect.
Mark, do personal circumstances come into play at all? Let's say somebody has a very high credit score. They've paid all their credits on time for 8 years. Say they're in the 800 range.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they get very sick and the $100,000 hospital bill and they can't make their payments like they were. Do personal circumstances like that come into play if you contact the credit bureaus?
Right. So, you know, the best scenario in those cases are really working directly with the creditors. So that would be the doctors or the hospitals. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the credit industry is not very forgiving when it comes to that type of thing. But what's really important is reaching out to your other creditors, your car loans, your credit cards, and letting them know, because they may have a program to work with you to where they're not just reporting everything derogatory. If you don't contact or you don't reach out, they absolutely will report everything late and regardless of the circumstances. And there's not much human interaction or factoring into
empathy
the circumstances.
I'll
yes,
tell you what
correct.
I notice, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, is the depth of credit is very important.
Mm-hmm.
If you have four accounts and two of them had late payments, 50% of your accounts have been delinquent. If you have 15 accounts and two of them are delinquent, the percentage is much lower.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to answer Alan's question is, no, the credit companies are not forgiving whatsoever. Your credit is going to be instantly affected by that recent collection on your credit report. However, if you have a bunch of credit and it's all been good, the chances of that affecting it for a very long period of time is pretty much diminished. Am I correct, Mark?
Yeah, and absolutely. And the older derogatory things become, once they're paid on your file, it has less and less of an effect. So like Mike is stating and kind of reemphasizing, if you're in a situation, you know, it's best to reach out to everybody just to let them know what's happening
keeping
to try
it,
to
keeping
minimize.
Keeping it off your credit report is very important.
Yeah.
Stay with this same question. $100,000 hospital bill not covered by insurance, but you've got income and you're paying your bills and doing everything right, but you can't pay the $100,000. So you go to the hospital or whoever it might be and you say, I work out a payment plan, and they accept the payment plan. Should you get that in writing?
Absolutely, yeah. Definitely get it in writing. And typically what's going to happen is if you do work out a plan with them, they're not going to report you or turn you over to a collection because they are receiving some funds. It may not be all of them, but mm-hmm. you've worked out that plan with them and you're being proactive. It was very similar to back in the day when we were doing short sales. I really emphasized with people, look, if you're late or you're potentially going to do a short sale, don't let your other trade lines go. Make sure that you're keeping up with your credit card payments and your car loans and doing everything, like Mike said, to keep the majority of your credit current to help offset the derogatory effect that some of it can have.
So the key thing, and I've talked to my Vince, I know you've counseled people constantly about, hey, don't hide, call everybody, let them know what's going on. Let them understand your circumstances, because the person you're talking to is the first one that's going to have some empathy or sympathy, and they're going to make notes on that file. And if you're hiding or running, let's face it, there is no sympathy or empathy, and it's just strictly going to be the numbers, and that's all there is to it.
Well, you can't hide from it anymore. It's all done electronically. All the information's reported,
right.
Might as well address it right up front.
And I wish there was more empathy toward people that are in those situations that become ill, or because I can assure you I've been in the business for 25 years and I hear a lot of stories.
Sure.
And it always starts off the phone call, Mark, this person, so-and-so. And I try to be as sympathetic as possible, and I really do, and explain to them, unfortunately, the system is just designed to be, you know, it is what it is, and it's all very automated.
Same example. Here we go back. They've been doing well. Everything is good, but this $100,000 medical bill has kind of hurt them, and then they might have gotten behind a month or so on a couple of other things because of not working. But they contact everybody best that they can. How can that person, how long, let's just say their credit score falls to 500. Let's just pick a number.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to get it up to 650 or something, Mike, to qualify for a mortgage. Is that a fair number?
Well,
I mean, a decent mortgage. Let me give you. I hate to use that and put you on the spot.
Yeah, I would say 600 is pretty much the magic number for most mortgages.
Okay.
But saying that, FHA doesn't have a minimum credit score.
No.
But if you get down to about 530, 540, it's very difficult to get those loans approved. That's when we have to manually underwrate these
things.
Because, we've talked about this before. All these loans today are computer underwritten.
Right.
We put in all the information, the computer spits out a yay or a nay, but the computer cannot reject the loan.
Right.
When it says refer. Now what that means is it's referred to a human being, and that's when these stories and these letters
starts
of explanation come into effect. If the credit score is 580, we look for an explanation as to why it's 580. And we look for an isolated instance in your life. Everybody has gone through these.
Sure, sure.
Okay? Many people have gone through them in the 2008, 2009.
Let's take a call here, and then we'll get back onto it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi. I have two questions regarding the credit cards. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. Go right ahead. I'm sorry. Normally by now I'd be picking on you, but I'm being nice today.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, my first question is regarding department store credit cards. I have two of them, and like you guys mentioned, sometimes we have them and we don't even use them. So right now, currently, I would say maybe I haven't used them in a year. Now, if I were to close the accounts, will that hurt me?
That would depend on what other credit cards you had open on your file. Do you have any other Visa or MasterCard accounts?
Well, yeah, I have the major, Visa accounts.
Okay.
But, I mean, I have two department store credit cards, and I don't even use them. I think I opened them up only because they had a special.
Get that discount at Christmas last year and what have you.
Get
that
extra 20% off today if you open that card, right?
So,
exactly.
Right. And so, you know, really the answer to that question is if you have two or three other cards, then you could close those without it really being a problem. But if you only have maybe one other credit card, I wouldn't recommend closing those because they're really looking for length of credit history to help with your credit score. So if you've had them for a couple of years and you paid on them, even if you're not using them, the fact that you've had them and they're established trade lines can definitely help.
But if you had 6 or 8 or 10 that you're not using.
Right.
Okay, every time you go into a different department store, they give you another 20% off, so you end up with 6 or 8 different department store cards.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not using them.
Right.
Yeah, but if
I only have two department stores, but I do have three major credit cards, three other ones.
Okay.
But if those three accounts, if those three major credit cards, if they're fairly new, you certainly don't want to close those older accounts.
Mm-hmm. Because, oh, no, they're not new. They're with me since I was 19, and I'm 50 now.
Well, you sound like you're only 21, though.
Boy, she sure does, yeah.
thank you. I have one other question.
Sure.
Around 10 years ago, I ran into a situation with some checks being sent to the wrong address and somebody cashed them. So I got afraid that somebody was going to steal my identity and all that. So I went ahead and signed up for, what do you call that? When you want to have somebody watch over your
credit monitoring?
Yeah.
The credit monitoring, sure.
I signed up immediately to that so I can always watch my credit, you know, what's going on with my credit. And they always send me like a statement every quarter, saying everything is fine, nothing changed or anything. But it's already been 10 years that I've been paying this service.
Right.
Would you say that this is a little overrated? Is it safe for me to just kind of,
putting poor Mark out here?
No, and that's okay because this is an awesome question, and especially with what happened last year with the Equifax breach, and I'm not sure if everyone's heard, but about 150 million people had their personal information compromised. So, so I cannot recommend enough that people have some sort of credit monitoring because you're immediately notified if somebody opens an account or somebody applies for a credit card in your name or anything like that. So, you know, I would not be quick to get rid of that service. I will just tell you that me and my entire family all have credit monitoring. And I've never been the victim of identity theft or fraud, but I just I think it's a very valuable tool to protect yourself.
Way to go!
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, wow, it's already a little over 10 years. I have them on, everything's fine. I've never had a problem. But like you mentioned, there was a problem last year with Equifax, and and I was like on guard waiting for, something to pop up, but nothing popped up and I felt safe and I was able to sleep at night.
Right.
But, I was just wondering if it was overrated, if it was okay for me to just go ahead and,
That's a really good question. As Mark said, it's probably a smart idea to keep that, and you've probably helped a lot of other people with what Mark just said. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Even though
I know you're an old lady now, you sure sound young. We're glad you called in.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. 1-888-221-8990. Now, that was a superb question. We never had that question.
You know, it's funny because a lot of people think, I'm going to pay off an account. You think it's going to help your credit score, but it could have the adverse effect. I'll give you a great example. I didn't have any installment debt in my name at a couple years ago. I had a car loan. My credit score was great. I paid off my car loan, ran the credit report a month or two later, and all of a sudden the credit went down. Why does that affect your credit
score? We got another call coming.
Yeah. So Mike's question is regarding installment loans, and what's really, really important is that...
Can I take this real quick, sure, and then we'll go... See, we are a professional radio here without a professional phone. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My question is concerning being a first-time home buyer, so first mortgage, and student loan debt. And the reason why I'm asking is I recently consolidated my student loans, and I wanted to know, as far as what's reported to the credit bureau, does the borrower have any control over how it's reported? I know that there are two ways they look at the, I believe it's called a debt to income or debt ratio. I may be wrong, but I was told they either look at the total amount or the amount that you pay on a monthly basis. So I just wanted to know, as a borrower, do I have any say-so, and then how it's reported to the credit bureau?
So I'll answer that question, then I'll turn it over to Mike for the qualifying part of that question. So unfortunately, you don't really have control over that. If you consolidated and you had six loans and now there's just one company that is handling that.
Can you turn your radio down a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So not really, you know, the individual consumers don't have any control over how things are reported. That comes from the creditor directly to the credit bureaus.
Now, you consolidated one or two or four different student loans into one, did you?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, a lot of times, now, again, I'm a mortgage expert, not a student loan expert, but a lot of times when people consolidate their student loans, they're consolidating the payment. And quite often when we run the credit report, all those individual student loans still appear. Mm-hmm. And maybe, Mark, you can explain this a little better than me. You know, the student loans are a totally different animal out there, because what happens is there's so many different programs out there that's available to consumers. Like, some of the payments are based on your income, your qualifying income. So if you're on a reduced income, they may reduce your payment. Well, the way we look at it is if the payment is not fully amortized, meaning it's not going to pay off the entire loan in a reasonable amount of time, then we have to take a percentage of the loan balance and use that towards your payments for qualifying. And that's where that debt-to-income ratio comes in, what you're talking about.
Because when you say fully amortized, you mean they're going to have a fixed monthly payment forever until it's paid off.
Correct.
But if it's not, if it's based on their income, that payment can change and go up and down.
Right. And there are programs out there for student loans where you don't have to make any payments because you're working in a qualified position, maybe as a teacher or a firefighter or something like that. Now, if that's the case, as a mortgage lender, I still have to count a payment against you because you may not work there 2 years from now.
Yeah, right.
So if you have $100,000 worth of student loan debt, I'm going to take a percentage of that balance and count it into your debt ratio. And that's the hardship of student loans. And I'm seeing so many young people get out of college and are just buried with this student loan debt. Even though they don't have to make a mortgage payment, it could hurt them from qualifying for a mortgage. And I think that has to be explained to these students when they're in college so they understand what they're getting into.
I don't think very often are people explain that to them.
No, I actually had a customer come to me saying that, hey, I couldn't afford the student loan payment, so I just, you know, I went
back to school.
I went back to school to put off the payment. And that's not the answer.
No. In fact, I know an attorney that's still going to school, got $250,000 loan balance, makes no payments.
Yeah.
Because as long as she's going to school, she doesn't have to make a payment.
Right.
Yeah, but that interest is
score,
still accumulating.
Yeah, it's accumulating. Before she dies, it could be $500,000, and I don't know if they'll allow her to go to school until she's 80.
Right. So and as far as, like Mike had mentioned before, if you had four accounts that you consolidated into one, those four other accounts are still going to show on the credit report, but they're going to say transferred to another lender, and then you're going to have a new trade line with the new balance mm-hmm. and the new payment and that type right. of thing. So that information is still going to be there. And from a credit mm-hmm. score standpoint, as long as you're not late, as long as there's not a 30-day late on the student loan payments, you're in good shape mm-hmm. as far as, you know, having still having a good credit score. Doesn't matter that you have mm-hmm. 5 or 6 trade lines or that you owe X amount. The student loans work similar to a car loan that's an installment loan,
right.
like Mike was talking about mm-hmm. earlier. As long as you're not late on that, it's actually helping your file, and it's not hurting.
Now here comes another thing. On your student loans you're talking about, if they were fixed, meaning fully amortized, you know you're going to have the exact same payment regardless of your income, you would count that uh-huh. differently, Mike, when it comes to qualifying for a mortgage, right?
Yeah, if it's fully amortizing, we take the payment that's reported on the credit report as face value.
Right.
But if you're in one of these deferred payment programs, because it's based on your income or your job position, that's a different mm-hmm. story.
Yeah, because if income goes up, the payment goes up, right?
Exactly. Because, you know, what happens is some of these programs are based on your income. So sure. if you're not making enough income to make the payment, they defer the payment
sure.
or reduce the payment. Well, that payment may not be enough to even pay the interest on that loan.
Yeah.
So we have to get the fully amortizing payment to calculate that into your debt ratio.
One of the things that I normally suggest, and if it's not for you, you can pass this on to any young person. We normally say, hey, Mike does this for a living. People can call him on the phone, and he will run a credit report quickly within 15 minutes and tell you and counsel you what you need to do. It might take you 3 months, 6 months, or you might be able to qualify right away, because almost nobody knows until they have that credit report in
until
front.
Until they do.
Yeah.
Right.
That's my biggest recommendation.
Sure. I often question that because, as Mike mentioned, with the, they call it an income-based repayment option. I mean, even without that, I mean, who knows? You could be in a loan that's amortized, as you mentioned, but you could lose your job tomorrow. So
sure.
It's not only just with student loan borrowers, which is why I could never understand the science behind the lending rules, because it's like you could lose your job. You could be making $60,000-$70,000 a year and great credit score, qualify, but lose your job tomorrow. So it could work in either way.
The key thing you got to do is when you're buying a house, and that's the main thing we're talking about here, not a car, that the credit report
right.
and the credit score, that's Mike's job. And I mean, and we always say the cart and the horse. If you know ahead of time what you can do based mm-hmm. on your credit score on your job right now, today, now you know
right.
what you can do. Now, nobody knows what's going to happen next year and the year after, but, you know, all we can do is the best we can do today.
Yep. And you know what?
I
kind of have the feeling, I mean, I've never read this anywhere, but most of these student loans are government-backed loans.
Oh, yeah.
They're guaranteed by the federal
right.
government. They're backed by the federal government.
Right.
So, you know, they took a little harder stance on these student loans
right.
when you're applying for an FHA loan. And that's a government-backed loan,
right,
too.
Right, right, right.
I'm kind of getting the feeling that the government doesn't want to be on the hook for all this this debt. So they're underwriting these government loans a little bit harder now because they want to get their return
right.
on their student loans, too. So that's my gut feeling. I mean,
it pays to say, okay, fine, here's what we might be able to get with an FHA, or we might be able to get with a conventional loan, and you might be able to get a better interest rate with one or the other, and it might take 60 days, 30 days, 90 days, 120 days, we don't know how long, based on these variables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, my recommendation is you really don't know. I mean, you have to have the file pulled, you know, from the team
right.
at East Coast, just to look at it, just to see, because there's too many generalities going around about credit, and then people are afraid to, oh, well, I don't think I can qualify. But you don't know until
that's
somebody's pulled your
yeah.
file.
Yeah, once it's done, it's
absolutely.
Done.
Absolutely.
All right, now if you
yeah.
want.
Thank you.
Do we answer everything for you? Are you okay?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I actually only had one other question. Is there a preference between as a first-time home buyer with going with a bank over versus a private lender? Is there a little bit more leeway with the private lender?
Well, we're a mortgage company, so we're not a bank. And I'd like to say that we have a great advantage over banks in the fact that we don't offer one set of products. We offer a lot of different products because we don't really keep any of our loans. We sell all of our loans, and that's really the definition of a mortgage company versus a bank. Banks tend to keep, not actually keep the loan, but they keep the servicing. And I won't get into that right now because it's a very complicated process. But a mortgage company like ours, we sell to a lot of different lenders. So we have a lot of different opportunities to give you different mortgages and different products. Yeah, we have the first-time home buyer programs, and I'd like to say that we probably have more than the average lender does, the average mortgage or average bank out there at least.
You see, what Mike didn't just hit you with flat out was that when you go into a bank, they have the bank over the top of them with their rules.
And it's a whole different regulation.
And the banking industry, I mean, if you may have heard of words like Dodd-Frank and the federal government and all kinds of regulations that banks have that can adversely affect the borrower, whereas Mike doesn't have it. Mike can say, fine, I can go to 15 different banks with this loan, and I'll find the one that fits you rather than the bank
shop
saying,
around,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So I have always prescribed anybody, let's just talk like an independent insurance agent.
Right.
An independent insurance agent doesn't work for one insurance company, he works for you, and he may have 100 different companies. So if you don't qualify for one, you might qualify for a different one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something to be said for dealing with somebody that's independent rather than captive.
And I'll just add, I work, you know, we service mortgage lenders as well as banks, and you know, my general opinion is a bank is going to be much more difficult or look at that loan a lot harder. You know, my clients like Mike and the team at East Coast, they're going to sit down with you and spend time with you and give you a game plan and help you, you know, develop different credit trade lines and get you into shape. If it's not tomorrow or 30 days, it's going to be 90 days down the road. You know, banks just, they're not set up to do that. They're not a customer service type entity.
Yeah, and besides, Mike's not bad looking, you know.
Yeah. You just called me old, though.
Yeah. You're old, yeah, but not bad looking. Anyway, yeah, I will tell
Thank you so much.
That's one of the things our group has tried to do is put together local professionals with different areas of expertise that we can help each other, and we've been able to help a lot of people. So,
yes.
Hey, really appreciate your call, and anytime we can help you, you call. Yes. We're here.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful day. 1-888-221-8990 toll free from any place. That's some good questions, but it's hard for people to understand what it takes to qualify, because it just there's no cut and dried rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not yellow and black and green, and it's not just black and white. There's a whole bunch of gray in the middle there to help people get qualified.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had a caller just call recent, just a couple minutes ago, and they didn't want to be on the radio, but Anne, if you're listening, the question is, if she gets an inheritance of, say, $20,000, is it a good idea to pay the mortgage in advance? Now, I don't know of any mortgage companies that will take advanced payments.
It used to be you could buy down the interest rate. You remember that?
Yeah. But, I mean, apparently she already has a mortgage, and, you know, she's asking if it's a good idea to pay in advance. Now, I don't think it's even permissible, but here's what I would do.
Well, you can pay down the mortgage, though.
You can pay down. And what if you have a conventional loan, like, again, going back to the Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, most of the lenders that service those loans will allow you to do what's called a recasting of the loan. And that's a real good thing, because you could take $20,000 and you can ask them to recast the loan. That's not a refinance. It's not getting a new loan. It's what it is. It's you're reducing the future payments. You're continuing the full amortization, like the original amortization. So if it's a 30-year loan, it's still going to be a 30-year loan.
But you can lower your payments.
And you can lower the payments. Now, that's not permissible on most government-backed loans, but it is on conventional loans. So that's what I would suggest.
No, back again. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac is permissible?
Yes, it is permissible. Okay. Now, it would be up to the servicer.
But not VA?
Loan. Not VA. Definitely not VA, not FHA.
Okay.
The only thing I would add to that would be to maybe look at your credit card debt, though, and see if, if you have a lot of credit card debt, then you might want to pay those before, because the interest rate on your mortgage loan is going to be a lot less than
5% on a mortgage, 20% on a credit card.
And our CPA can testify to that, because that mortgage interest could be tax deductible for you, where a credit card debt is not.
Yeah. 1-888-221-8990. I'm going to take another caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, this is Joe. I was calling in reference to the credit card. I'm wondering if you have a credit card and maybe the balance is probably like $30. Should we pay it off all the way, or just, you know, because it's no set payment amount?
Do you just have one credit card?
Yes.
Okay, so, and do you have any other payments that you make, like on your house payment or car payment or anything? Pardon me?
Car payment.
Okay.
Right.
So, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of interesting that you say that because, you know, I do a lot of seminars and educational stuff. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about and one of the things a lot of our clients like Mike and the East Coast team know, you never want to have, and please don't take this the wrong way, I'm strictly talking from mortgage purposes for raising your credit score. You never want to have your credit cards all at an absolute zero balance. Your scores would actually be a hair lower because, again, your credit score is all about you borrowing money and you paying it back. So if you have zero balances, sometimes your scores can be a little lower than if you had that $30 balance on your file.
So go but that's out and really some groceries and pay it off.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So it's the buying and the paying down. But that's really only into play if you're looking to get a mortgage loan currently.
Otherwise, it wouldn't make any difference.
Then it really doesn't make a difference because the next month you're going to charge up and you're going to have a different balance. Yeah. So,
you know, that's one thing I suggest to all my borrowers who are trying to build their credit is, you know what, if you had a situation, you know, now you have some bad credit and you want to rebuild it, go ahead and get some secured credit cards if you can't get it.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? Lock that in your glove compartment. Use that to buy a tank of gas each month.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the month, pay that off. It just shows activity on your credit report and that you're showing financial responsibility by paying it off.
Right. And I'm just going to jump in and answer Mike's question from earlier about the revolving versus installment. So he had asked, he had only had one installment loan and he paid it off and his score seemed to have gone down. Our credit scores for the mortgage industry want you to have a mix of revolving and installment loans. So a revolving could be Macy's, Visa, MasterCard, you know, mobile, whatever. But your installments could be your car loans, your mortgages, your student loans. So we need to have a mix of those trade lines going. So it's a really good idea instead of paying off that car loan or that student loan, if it was the only one that you had, that could potentially be a detriment to your file. They want that mixture. But again, that's where it's really important to go to a professional that can help you put that plan together. And it's not somebody who just started in the business last week. It's somebody like Mike that's got 30
an
plus
old guy
years.
Like Mike, you know.
He doesn't even have any gray hair, but he's been in the business.
I think he dyes his hair.
Ever since I started this show, it started coming.
Well, he's hanging around with everybody else here that has plenty of gray hair, so it'll rub off on him. But do we answer your question?
Okay, so is due today? Should I... go ahead and pay it off.
And then charge something every month and pay it off. Charge something, pay it off, like groceries or anything.
Keep it active.
Yeah, get into that cycle.
Yep. Well, actually, it's like a Home Depot loan. So
that's good.
Something.
Yeah. Okay. Same thing. Yeah. Hey, listen, thank you so much for that call. We're just out of time. Thank you. We're just about how much time we got left, Chief? We got we got 30 seconds. See, he has these cards. If he didn't have these cards, he'd have to use English, and that's a big problem.
I got to thank Mark for coming because he's answered a lot of questions. I think he's helped a lot of our listeners.
Yep.
He's a wealth of knowledge. You know, anything that I can't answer, I just go to Mark.
There
so
you
if you have any issues with your credit,
well, you know how that works. Anything we can't answer, we always go to you.
Thank you all for having
me.
All right, hey, listen, until next week, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.